You're listening to New England Public Radio. Good afternoon, I'm Kari Njiri. The Clark Schools for Hearing and Speech has gained a global reputation as a leader in deaf education. Founded in Northampton, Massachusetts in 1867 as the Clark School for the Deaf, it was the first school in the country to teach oralism, a controversial philosophy that focused on teaching speech and lip reading to children who are deaf or hard of hearing, as opposed to teaching them sign language. More recently, another controversy has surrounded the Clark School, where former students say they suffered severe emotional and physical abuse dating back decades. Dusty Christensen is a reporter with the Daily Hampshire Gazette and wrote about the recent revelations. He joins me now, and welcome.
Thank you much.
You spoke with a number of people who say they were traumatized by their experiences at the Clark School. What was the nature of the abuse, and how far back do the allegations go?
So the allegations that we spoke to alumni about date back to the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And the abuse that those alumni say they faced spans a wide range of abuse, from emotional abuse to physical abuse, having their hands hit with hairbrushes if they signed or even gestured when speaking. One student recounted being punched in the face and strangled on a ping pong table. Another student recalls as a five-year-old being put in a dark basement with no explanation at a time when she didn't have the communication skills to even ask why.
What prompted the abuse?
It's unclear. I know that for a lot of the physical abuse, some of these alumni do have questions themselves about why. When it comes specifically to some of the cruelty alumni say they faced when signing or gesturing, those alumni say it had to do with Clark's oralist tradition and their strict prohibition on using American Sign Language or even gestures at the school. The idea at the time, I believe, was that they wanted students to be practicing lip reading and oral speech, and thought that if they discouraged sign language entirely, those students would simply focus on that. Of course, decades later, all the alumni we spoke to now use ASL, American Sign Language, as their primary language and are deeply resentful of the fact that they were denied that language, as well as the culture that comes with it, for their formative years.
Was this a system-wide pattern of abuse, or was it at the hands of a few individuals?
I guess it sort of depends. So Clark released an independent investigation this last April detailing abuse that students experienced mostly at the hands of a former teacher named Mary Numbers, who was a prominent figure at the school, a teacher in charge, as well as her brother Fred, who was at the school for several years and reportedly sexually abused students. But as far as the abuse pertaining to signing or gesturing, or some of the other humiliations that alumni told us they experienced, they said that that was more systematic than the school's independent report made it seem.
How have alumni reacted to the investigation?
So the alumni that we spoke to said universally that the investigation the school commissioned with a third-party law firm was inadequate, that it failed to touch on the totality of their experiences and seemed to focus largely on those two figures, Mary and Fred Numbers, whereas for them, the experience with abuse was at the hands of house parents as well, other teachers and staff at the school.
How has the Clark School evolved in its teaching philosophy? Do they now teach sign language?
They don't teach sign language now, but the school has changed significantly over the years. Technology plays a bigger role now, perhaps, than ever at the school, in particular cochlear implants, which are a surgically implanted device that can give somebody a sense of sound. Because of that technology, Clark is able to mainstream kids into their neighborhood schools very early on, as early as, you know, first grade, kindergarten, in some cases. And they say that nowadays they have a zero tolerance policy for abuse, that abuse does not happen. But no, they do not teach American Sign Language still to this day.
How did you come to this story in terms of speaking with some of these students who say they were abused?
So it was one of those classic cases as a reporter where you write an initial story, in this case about the independent investigation Clark commissioned, and it begins to generate lead after lead after lead. Alumni began to come out of the woodwork, and we started to build trust by talking over the phone using ASL interpreters and video phone on their end. And soon the number of people we were speaking to swelled to 16, 12 of whom eventually came on the record to bravely tell their stories.
This is an important school in Northampton.
Very.
And you still have students, former students, living in the area?
Yes, as well as students. They operate a K-8 program at Leeds Elementary School in Northampton. So current students of Clark obviously are in the community as well.
The school has expanded beyond Northampton, too.
That's right. They have 5 campuses now across the United States. I think another important thing to keep in mind is the central role that Clark played in expanding the theory of oralism across the United States. Clark was the first oralist school, as you say, and by the 1920s, oralism was the dominant theory in deaf education. Of course, as the civil rights movements came about and the deaf community started to push back against what they say is the discrimination against their community that they experienced for decades and decades, American Sign Language and educational models that use sign language or a combination of sign and spoken language began to become more prevalent.
Dusty Christensen is a reporter with the Daily Hampshire Gazette. Dusty, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you're listening to New England Public Radio.